Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. As you can see, our worship services are going to look different for a while, but I encourage you to sing along with the hymns and participate in the liturgy as if you were present in the sanctuary. During this time, our offerings will be collected in two ways. You can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn. I believe the text is rather fitting for where we find ourselves right now.
Good morning and welcome as we worship our Lord and Savior. We make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In the darkness of the world around us and amid our own blindness to His will and ways, God calls us to confess our sins. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let's take a moment this morning for silent meditation and reflection. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive me all my sins and grant me the power of your Holy Spirit that I may amend my sinful life. Hear these words of forgiveness. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord, my spirit falls. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down into the pit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 54. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This morning we're going to talk about the courtyard, a place of renewal. And I like what Luke does because he really frames this section well. He has Jesus on trial in the home of the high priest, and he has Peter on trial in the courtyard. Jesus looks at Peter after his trial is over, and also Peter's trial is over, as Jesus exits the home. And Peter then hears the rooster crow. He sees Jesus, and he remembers the words that Jesus spoke to him. So I find it very interesting that Jesus just didn't say, Peter, you will disown me this night. But he said specifically, you will disown me three times. Luke closes out this section where Peter went out and wept bitterly because he had failed to live up to his own expectations. So how many times have you and I failed to live up to our own expectations? So maybe you expected to get a promotion, and when that promotion didn't come, you felt possibly like a failure. Or how about when you expected to get an A on your report card and you didn't? Or perhaps you expected people to really like you because you did some really cool stuff and then they didn't. Peter expected to prove Jesus wrong. When Jesus told him he would deny him, Peter said, "That's not going to happen." So remember that the disciples that evening had been arguing about who would be the greatest. And of course, you know who thought they would be the greatest. That would be braggadocious Peter. But Peter went from the greatest of the disciples to the least of the disciples that evening as he disowned Jesus three times. So how many times have we let Jesus down with our denials of not knowing him? Well, let's look at the trial that Peter is and as it begins. The first accusation, you were with Jesus. And from Luke 22, a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. Guilt by association. I saw you with Jesus before. Perhaps the servant girl had seen Jesus preaching in the temple area, and as she was watching Jesus, she may have noticed Peter standing closely by. Somehow, she knew that Peter was with Jesus. But of course, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus when he said, woman, I don't know him. I can only imagine that Peter felt very uncomfortable and possibly shrunk into the shadows of the courtyard away from the fire so he would be unnoticed. Later, someone else saw Peter and connected the dots that he was also the disciple. So let's look at the second accusation. The trial of Peter continued, second accusation. You are one of the disciples. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Well, Peter, in fear of his very self, his very life, denies that he is not one of Jesus' disciples. Man, I am not. So the accuser goes from a woman to a male accusing him, which would make the accusation that much stronger. And I only can guess what Peter is feeling at this point in time. He is being found out as a follower of Jesus, and it's not comfortable to be a follower of Jesus this night. Peter once again shrinks into the darkness of the shadows of the courtyard. But yet he sticks around to see what will happen to Jesus. So this leads us to the third accusation. You were with Jesus from the beginning. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Well, Peter was probably warming himself once again, probably quite cool in the courtyard, and Jesus would have been in the home for much of the evening. An hour passes by. Another one says, you are a follower because you're a Galilean. Your accent gives you away. So I love to listen to people from Boston. I love their accent. It's very easy to pick up. Or if you're from England, once again, I love their accent. Or from Australia, once again, I love their accent. But if you and I go up to the northern states and we say, I want to order a Coke, and you really mean a root beer, they're going to think you're kind of crazy because you got to order what you're really asking for. But in Texas, everything is a Coke. So Peter's reply is, man, I don't know what you are talking about. So it's very easy to see that Peter has a problem recognizing that he is a disciple of Jesus in public. Well, how about you? Could we say the same thing about you and me, that pretty hard to see us as a servant of Jesus in public as we publicly proclaim him as Lord and Savior? Do we make it obvious in our public appearances that we are a follower of Jesus? If so, how? So when some people gossip, do you join in? That's not being a follower of Jesus. When some people make fun of another person, do you join in? Once again, that would not be a follower of Jesus. I'd like to share this example with you this morning. College student, freshman year. He had been confirmed in eighth grade, and now he's off to college. And there is a Lutheran church nearby the college. And so he goes to worship, but it's not his home church. And so he goes sporadically. And now he's in his second year, and he sleeps in on Sunday. Because now what has happened to him is he spiritually asleep during Sunday and spiritually asleep during the week as well. But one day in his home group, they're talking about Western civilization, and they began to talk about the Roman Empire and Christianity and what role it played. One of the students said, think about all the wars that have been fought over religion. Another student chimed in, look at our country. Christians are standing outside of Planned Parenthood telling people what they can and can't do. Another student said, haven't you heard that Christians are stirring up all kinds of trouble? And still another replied, Christians are hypocrites. Andy finally spoke up. He said, Jesus is my God. I follow him. And suddenly it was a lot harder to be a Christian in public than it was to be a Christian in confirmation. As the other students began to challenge him about his Christian faith, somehow Andy felt more invigorated to talk about his faith. He didn't know all the answers, but now his faith became much more real as he was challenged to share about what he knew about God and what he knew about Jesus Christ and this whole salvation message. Well, what happened that day was much more relevant for Andy because he became spiritually alive once again. Andy was convicted to share his faith by the power of the Holy Spirit working within him. Well, Peter also had a conviction that evening. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And previously to our section of reading Luke, in Luke chapter 22, then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. Well, I don't know exactly what the look of Jesus gave to Peter. I'm guessing it's not the parent look. But Peter and Jesus' eyes connected. Perhaps Jesus looked at Peter with compassion, like one of his sheep who had failed. Jesus looked at Peter with love. He didn't look at him and say, "I told you so." I don't think that's the look that was given. But the conviction of Peter is that he failed to acknowledge his Lord and his Savior in public. And let's face it, you and I can do better as a church to taking our gospel message out into our community. And let's face it as well, we as individuals could do a better job of sharing our faith in public about Jesus. I could be a better witness to my own family and my circle of friends. And the gospel is not something that you put on in the morning and take off at night before you go to bed. The gospel is a one-on-one relationship with Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. May this be said about us just as well. May we remember the words of that our Lord has told each and every one of us through the word and through the preaching. And may we be the servants that he has called us to be. But there's also the remorse and usefulness of Peter just as well after he is convicted. And it says, he went outside and wept bitterly. Previous to our reading, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Notice the change in Peter. He has gone from being full of himself now to be empty of himself, which makes room for the Holy Spirit to fill him with the power of God's word, so that we as brothers and sisters in the faith may claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Let's face it, we all fail, but let's also face it, is that God sees us as useful in his kingdom. Will we repent and turn back to the Lord Jesus? That's my prayer, that we as a church and we as individuals who see our sin and also see our Savior, repent of our shortcoming and say, "Lord, come into my life once again so that I may be your follower and share your message of the gospel." You and I are like Peter. We do have value in the kingdom. The church as we know it has changed since the coronavirus that has come into our country and into our world. This is a good reminder that the church is not the building. We are not in the building this day, but we are online. But we are the church, and we are out in our community. Maybe self-imposed quarantine, but yet we still have ways to connect with our community through electronic means. God's people gather together this day in a different way. So today we are reimagining and repurposing the church to serve the living and loving Jesus in a new way. Peter failed, we fail, but yet there is hope for each and every one of us. I believe, and by statistics, that many people will not walk into a church building, but they will click online to a worship service. And possibly we are reaching people today that we have never reached before with the message of Jesus Christ. I pray that is happening this morning. I pray is that the Holy Spirit is working through the power of his word this morning. I pray that the church reimagined and repurposed is the new Peter serving the Lord in a new and exciting way. We have failed in the past, and now God is using a new way to reach people with hope. Hope in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic. You see, the courtyard is a place of renewal, and it's my prayer this morning that God's Word has renewed you to a new purpose, to live out each and every day sharing Jesus somehow, some way, on some public medium. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's children say, Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now gather in our offerings as a token of our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus. We pray this morning for our country, our community, our world, as we all battle the coronavirus. Heavenly Father, bless our country, bless our community, bless our world. And Lord, I believe You're trying to get our attention as human beings. Help us, Lord, to turn back to You. As the church, as individuals, and as new people who, for the first time, are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that as the church is not meeting in the building, because the building is not the church, but we as the church who are out in our community are sharing our hope, our conviction that Jesus is Lord. Lord, help us this day to defeat this virus and return to somewhat normalcy. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Charlie Rhinelander for good results of pain management. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this test and this procedure will go well for Charlie. Bless him and bless his wife, Sarah. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up Dan Brown, a heart with heart procedure scheduled. We pray, Lord, that all will go well for Dan with his heart procedure. Thank You for Dan. Thank You for his wife. Thank You for his family. Thank You for his church family. Help us, Lord, to lift up Dan and lift up Charlie and lift up others that we know in our hearts this morning that need to come before Your very throne room of grace. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Pastor Phil Ressler, who has a divine call from Peace Lutheran Church and also his church in New Jersey. We pray, Lord, is that You would help Pastor Phil to recognize where You want him to serve, whether here in Texas or to stay back in New Jersey. And Heavenly Father, we recognize that this makes it very difficult this time for traveling, but we pray is that we worship through Easter, and Pastor Phil and his wife and family can come and visit us in Texas. We pray that that will be something that can be done. is that he will discern in his heart where you would have him serve. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for our college students. We pray for all of our students. We recognize that life in this world is much different than it was just a month ago. Help us, Lord, to look at how all education is being done, how students will learn, how people will be safe. And we pray, Lord, is that you are honored through all we do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, this day we pray for all who are homebound. Watch over them and bless them. And may they continue to grow in your grace as we thank you for the blessings we have, as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And receive the benediction from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.